Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about the power of testimony. This will be the last in the series, and we thank you for listening and tuning in each and every Sunday. If this is your first time, we hope you enjoy this broadcast. We'll have contact information at the end of the broadcast. I'm praying especially, and I invite you all to pray especially for the crusade coming up in Burundi in November. I'm going to Burundi, flying over there from Nairobi, and we're going to have a great crusade in Bujumbura, the capital city, and that is the capital where the president and all the high officials of the government reside, and they have indicated that they want to come to the crusade, and so we are looking forward to hosting the president of the country, and I hope that I am able to pray with him, lay hands on him, pray with him, maybe have a private meeting also. So I ask you to join me in prayer there that will come to pass, that Burundi crusade will be a great crusade and many, many will come to know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Well, in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, this is a story of 10 lepers that Jesus heals, and it says here in verse 11, "Now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." Well, I want to stop right here and bring up a point that is very important for us to notice, and that is that Jesus prayed for these 10. They were standing afar off from the crowd because they were lepers. They could not mingle with the other people. But he prayed for these 10, and then he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Well, this is a commandment that comes from the Old Testament. There were many instructions on how lepers were to interact with other people, how they were to interact with their village, with their families, because leprosy was such a communicable disease, still is. In Africa, we have leper colonies of lepers that are isolated from the general society. And so there was protocol that the lepers had to follow in order to be reintegrated back into the society. They had to go show themselves to the priest. The priest would look at the scabs. The priest would look at the infections. In Leviticus, this is all described in great detail in the book of Leviticus, how the priests were to look at the infections and then make a judgment or a determination about whether this person could go back to the family or back into the village. And so Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. But here is the important point that I want to bring out. It says, as they went, and so as it was, they went, they were cleansed. And so they're stepping out in faith. Jesus has healed them, he has touched them, and he has healed them, but it is not an instantaneous healing necessarily, because it says, as they went, they were cleansed. And so this brings up an important point for us in terms of healing and just having faith to believe that we are healed when we ask God for healing. And I know this is a big, big subject. That's not what I'm preaching about today. Maybe we'll get into that at a later session. But what I'm talking about today is many times you have to step out in faith, believing that as you go, you will be healed. As you go, the healing will come. And so we step out in faith, we go, even if we haven't seen that 100% healing that we're asking for, we haven't seen that miracle that we're asking for, but when you step out in faith and continue to believe that you're going to be healed as you go, then the healing comes. I can think of many times when I have been ready to preach and there was something wrong with my body, maybe sickness, maybe flu. I can remember one time I was ready to preach a crusade, and I couldn't hear. I'd been swimming the day or two before, and my ears got plugged up with water, and I could not hear anything. My hearing isn't the greatest anyway, but I could not hear anything, and I thought, wow, this is really crazy. I'm getting ready to preach a crusade. I can't hear when people talk to me. I can't hear when I play the guitar. So how in the world am I going to preach this crusade? But I just went ahead and I stepped out in faith, just like these lepers. I stepped out in faith, and I went forward with the plan, and I honored God with my plans, with my money, with my guitar, with my voice. I honored Him, and the healing came as soon as I stood up there and started to sing the first song. My ears opened up, and I could hear. And so I was in the very same situation as these 10 lepers. It says, as they went, they were cleansed. And so if you're struggling today with some kind of an illness, if you're struggling with pain in your body, or maybe your eyesight is failing, your hearing is failing, or whatever, just keep seeking the Lord. Move forward for the kingdom. Move forward in what He has called you to do. And as you go to show the priest, as it were, as you go, He will heal you, and you will be cleansed, and you will be given that answer to the prayer that you are crying out, that answer that you have not received. Very, very few times do you see a miraculous, instantaneous healing. I've prayed for tens of thousands of people in the Crusades, laid hands on many thousands personally, individually laid hands on many thousands, and very few times have I seen instantaneous healing. It happens some, but very few times. And so people just have to step out in faith. But many times people will come back to the crusade the next day, and they will say, the Lord touched me as I was going home, or the Lord touched me overnight, and when I woke up this morning, I did not have that infirmity that I had before. And so, beloved, step out in faith. Keep seeking the Lord. Move towards the kingdom. Move higher and higher from glory to glory, and God will touch you. He will give you that healing that you're asking Him for. Well, verse 15, and one of them, that is one of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And were there not any found who return to give glory to God except this foreigner? Well, the foreigner is the Samaritan, because the Samaritans were not Jews. They were, as we would say, half-breeds, and they were people that were intermingled racially, ethnically with the Jewish people, but they were considered foreigners. They were considered outsiders. In fact, Jesus and most of the Jews, not Jesus himself, but most of the Jews would look at Jesus and say, you should not be mingling or having any kind of communication or any business with these Samaritans, because they were considered unclean foreigners, and so the Jews considered them to be outcasts of the kingdom. So Jesus said, was there not any besides this one that were cleansed? And in verse 19, Jesus said to him, arise and go your way, your faith has made you well. Well, that is what I just spoke a minute ago. Beloved, sometimes you just have to step out, even if you haven't seen it. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And so even if you've not seen the healing, even if your change or what you're crying out for has not come, believe it and give God thanks for it. Give God praise, just as this leper did when he came back to Jesus. Well, verse 15 is the key verse in terms of testimony for us. One of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. So, beloved, there is the testimony right there. This one man took the time. He came back. The other 9, we don't know for sure if they got cleansed, but we assume they do. They did. And this one, he returned, he came back, he went out of his way, and he came back to Jesus. He fell down at his feet, and he glorified God. He gave God the glory for his healing. He gave God the glory for the fact that he was now able to reintegrate into society. He was able to go back and be with his family, be in his village. And so he had much to be thankful for. He had much to be grateful for. And beloved, this is a lesson for us that we have much to be thankful for. We have much to be grateful for. If you have life today, if you have food today, if you have shelter today and clothing, you are extremely blessed. Beloved, I've been all over East Africa, and I can tell you some of the poorest people in the world live here. The average income of people in Burundi, for instance, and Uganda is about $800 per person per year. Yes, that's $800 per person per year. And these people, sometimes they have rags for clothes, no shoes, very, very little food, and poor sanitation, poor water supply. And so if you're listening to me today and you're in the United States of America or some other developed country, you need to give thanks, especially that you were born there, that you have all of the privileges of living in a modern, highly developed country, that you have the grace of God looking out for you, a church on every corner, and a government that cares about you with very little corruption, and a government that is representative for the most part of your wishes and your desires. You're able to go to the voting booth without fear of intimidation or persecution. And so you have much to be thankful for. And beyond that, if you have salvation, if Jesus has touched you and brought you into the kingdom, and you realize that you're a son of the living God or a daughter of the living God, you need to give thanks, you need to give testimony, and you need to tell other people and not sit on that testimony, not be a secret agent, a silent Christian. And if you will do that, beloved, other people then will be impacted by your life. And especially as I'm speaking today, if you are a senior citizen or somebody who's mature in your walk, mature in your faith, and you have lived a good portion of your life and seen the miracles and seen the great things that God has done for your life, I encourage you to speak it out. Maybe write it out. Write a little book. You can self-publish a book these days very easily. Or just write out a few pages and give it to your grandchildren. Give it to your great-grandchildren. Let them know what Jesus means to you. Let them know how you came to a place of salvation. What were the events in your life that brought you to a place where you were in the valley of decision and you made a decision to accept Jesus Christ? This is very important. It's your legacy. It is what you leave behind. Yes, we all have a headstone. It has our name carved in it, but that really isn't too significant. What you have to leave behind is your testimony of your salvation, the memorial to you that will carry on to your descendants, to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. And so I encourage you to make sure you speak out your testimony. And when your family gets together, let others know what Jesus has done in your life, and let others know what a great and mighty God we serve. Well, the second story I'm going to talk about today is John 9, and this is a story of the blind man that Jesus heals. And this is a similar story, a man that is born blind, and of course everybody had their opinion about why he was blind. And so Jesus encounters this man. John 9 verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, that is a common idea that was pervasive in the culture, that somebody had to have sinned, either this man or his parents sinned, in order for this man to be blind. And we sometimes take on that type of idea, that type of conception ourselves. We look at somebody and see the infirmities or see the problems that they're having, and we make an instant judgment about it and make some kind of declaration about things that are happening in their life that we really don't have any idea whether or not they've happened. Well, Jesus answered the disciples, and he said to them, "Neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." And so Jesus said, it wasn't this man's sin that was born blind. It's not his sin. It wasn't his parents. It was just that so this man, his condition would bring glory to God. And so Jesus was preparing the disciples to show them that he was going to heal this man, and that he was put in this situation and encountered Jesus Christ so that the glory of God would be revealed. The works of God should be revealed in him. And Jesus said in verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And so he was preparing the disciples for the healing that was going to come here in just a bit. "And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground, he made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to the blind man, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam.'" And so this is a similar situation to the lepers. Jesus is saying, as you go, you're going to be healed, but you have to step out in faith and be obedient. And as you go, you're going to see the healing come. And I'm sure this blind man was probably wondering what Jesus was doing, putting this clay on his eyes mixed with his saliva. And he sent the man to the pool of Siloam. And so the man went and he washed in the pool of Siloam. And then he came back seeing. And so as he was obedient to the instruction of Jesus, as he's obedient to what Jesus asked him to do, he came back and his eyes is opened. He could see, and the light of the world had come into his eyes. Well, this is an amazing miracle. This man was born blind, and the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is this not he who sat and begged?" And so there was controversy. There was a discussion about, was this the man who had been blind? And verse 11, Jesus answered and said, or the man answered Jesus and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and washed.' And so I went and washed, and I received sight." Well, anytime there's a great miracle, anytime there's something of this magnitude that happens in a village, everybody has an opinion about it. Everybody has questions. How could this be? Because this goes against the natural order of things in the universe. This goes against the natural order of what we normally see each and every day. And we don't expect to see miracles like this, and neither did they in their day. And so they started the questioning here in verse 12. "And then they said to him, 'Where is he? Where is this Jesus?' He said, 'I do not know.' And they brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees," that is the religious elite, and they really started to question what was going on here. "Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, and the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight, and he said to them, 'He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see.' Therefore some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath.' Others said, 'How can a man who is a sinner,'" they're talking about Jesus, "'how can a man who is a sinner do such signs?'" And there was a division between them. Well, they peppered the blind man who was formerly blind. They peppered him with all kinds of questions. And then they went to his parents because they didn't believe that this blind man could think and see and talk for himself. So they went to his parents, started asking the parents questions. And in verse 21, the parent says, "He is of age, ask him, he will speak for himself." And then in verse 23, his parents says, he is of age, ask him, he will speak for himself. And then they called this blind man again and said to him, give God the glory. We know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. And this is the testimony then that the blind man gives. Verse 25, he answered and said, whether he, Jesus, is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, though, I was blind and now I see. Well, that particular verse right there, that particular saying, I was blind but now I see, you know, that is the subject of many, many songs, Amazing Grace and other songs. But that is his testimony. You know, beloved, when God does something great for you, you have to speak it out. When God does something out of the ordinary and touches you and gives you a healing or gives you an encouragement or strengthening, you have to speak it out. You have to tell, and you go tell others what a great and mighty God you serve. Beloved, I sit here in Africa, and the reason why I'm here is because God has been so good to me. He's been so faithful to me, and my life has been a testimony to the power of God and the love that Jesus has for me, the love that he has and that he had when he went to that cross and he took my sins upon his shoulder and he nailed my sins to the cross. He shed his precious blood and covered my sins with his blood. And beloved, that's why I'm here in Africa. It is for the joy set before me to be able to preach the gospel, for the joy set before me to suffer and share in the sufferings, the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, because it's not all peaches and cream here, being in a culture that I don't understand or don't know anything about, can't speak the language very well. And so I know that God shows me favor. He has blessed me in so many ways. He's blessed my family. He's given me a strong body, good health, and the ability to speak and to preach. And so I can't help but thank him. I can't help but praise him. I can't help but want to share the bounty of what my life has become. I can't help but want to share what God has done for me in my life. And beloved, I hope you are the same way. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you certainly have something to tell other people. You have your own salvation story, your own testimony of how Jesus brought you out of the miry clay. He picked your feet up and put you on a firm foundation. So I know this, that Jesus has done something great for you, and so you need to tell other people. And so the Pharisees, they keep asking him over and over, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Because, you know, when there's a miracle, there's always people around who are doubters and scoffers, and there are always people around who are trying to pour cold water on the fire and the zeal that baby Christians have, that new Christians. And so this formerly blind man said, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? So he's poking a little fun at them. And then they reviled him and said, you are Jesus' disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. And then down in verse 33, it says, if this man were not from God, the blind man says, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Well, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he found the blind man, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And the formerly blind man answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you. And then the former blind man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And so that is the testimony, beloved, right there. That is the testimony that man spoke. And he said, yes, I believe. Jesus had to say, the one that you're talking to is the Son of God. He is the one who is the healer. He is the one who gave sight to your eyes. And so it is. We are in the same situation today. We are in the very same place that Jesus has given us sight. Yes, maybe you didn't lose your sight. Maybe you weren't born blind. But when you are outside the kingdom and you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your eyes will be opened to see the King. Your eyes will be opened to enjoy the blessings and to perceive the blessings and to perceive all of the good things that God has for you. And so it is that you give glory to God at that point, that you give glory to God and you let others know what a great and mighty God you serve. You let others know the joy of your salvation, that they too will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Well, I thank you for listening today. I hope you've enjoyed these messages on the power of testimony. I encourage you to speak out. Speak out. Don't be a silent Christian. In this day and age, we need people to get up and speak, get over their fear, and speak the good news of the gospel. Speak what Jesus has done for their life, and your testimony then will be a witness to others of what a great and mighty God you serve. Stay tuned for contact information. We appreciate your prayers. We'd like to hear from you. Drop a donation in the mail to the address given here in the contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.